Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. On this week's Radio Today programme, we're packed with guests from the ARIAs 2018 in Leeds this week, including Stephen Nolan, Ronan Keating, Charlie Sloth and Greg James, plus many, many more. James Cridlin will be here for his usual look at what's going on in the future, and David Lloyd takes us back to the past with Radio Moments.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
But we'll start the podcast this week with our usual chat with Radio Today's editor, Roy Martin, although you're getting cut.
Well, it won't be for the first time. I suppose there's so much else going on. We're the most dispensable, are we?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But we just had a minute to talk about the other big shock of the year, because Chris Evans's announcement in September came a bit out of the blue, and this week Simon Mayo said he's off, and here he is chatting to Joe Wiley on Monday's Drive Time.
I mean, I'm very, very sad to be leaving this show, very sad to be leaving you, very sad to be leaving Wogan House and the wonderful production team, but very excited at the same time. So does that make sense, to be sad and excited?
It does. It makes perfect sense. Absolutely. The main thing for me is that I hope you felt, or have felt today, the tidal wave of love and respect that has come for you from everywhere, bar none. It's all over the place. So I hope you feel that.
He's got lots of other opportunities to pursue in 2019, apparently.
He's getting love from every direction, the lucky man.
Maybe Leicester Square. Watch this space to find out.
Well, you know, the rumours are that he hasn't got a gig to go to, and it's all just rumours. So time will tell, as ever.
Absolutely. Well, there's been tons of big stories this week. We haven't got time to talk about them, but we'll try and cover them on next week's podcast, because we really want to get on and play some of the best bits from the ARIAs 2018. We're going to hear from some of the winners, and we're going to start off on the red stroke purple carpet as well. It was nice to see you in Leeds.
Say it like you mean it. Do you know what? I spoke to about three people the entire night, because I was stuck right at the back on the laptop all night doing the tweet. So I did zero networking. So I apologise if I said we were going to do something and you never even saw me. I was there, honest.
Yeah, and likewise, I was on the red carpet, and then I was stuck in a room backstage, and I spoke to a few people, but not very many. So, yeah, maybe next year we'll get to enjoy the show.
One day, me and you will go to an awards show and not work. That'd be something, wouldn't it? That'd be great. What do we have to still pay to get in?
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Penny Smith is here on the red carpet and doing a radio show these days at Talk Radio.
I am indeed, yeah, Saturday and Sunday breakfast. Can't seem to get away from those breakfast slots. I think it's because I'm quite good at getting up early and getting straight on and doing everything. And yeah, so here I am, very excited at the awards in lovely Leeds, and it's been the most beautiful day. So I'm excited.
And obviously you've been at Talk Radio for a little while now.
Yeah, more than a year.
Do you feel
like
part of the radio industry?
Well, I think I've always felt part of the media industry. I was going to say, I do radio, still do television, still do a bit of writing here and there. So I kind of keep my finger in all the pies that I possibly can.
And the good thing about radio is that it doesn't matter what you look like, especially early in the morning.
I know. I virtually wear a version of a day pyjama.
And it's an exciting place to be at Talk Radio and News UK at the moment, because you've got loads of big names joining you. Chris Evans is coming soon, and you've got Jeremy Kyle, Eamon Holmes.
I know. Matthew Wright, Steph and Dom follow me on a Saturday and a Sunday. So, yes, there's lots of people around to go and chat to.
Stephanie Hurst is on the purple carpet at the ARIAs.
I am on the purple carpet at the ARIAs. And, it's just great to be here again. I was here last year, but I wasn't nominated. I presented an award, but I'm nominated and presenting an award.
Nominated for your brand new show that's been going 6 months on Radio Leeds, but yeah. Radio Leeds up for local station as well?
Yeah, we're up for quite a few awards. It's a big night for the station, and this is Paul on, because obviously this is audio, you can't see it, but Paul, in fact, you've got Larry and Paul.
Larry and indeed Paul from Radio Leeds.
Good morning. Don't talk to us, talk to our agents, please.
I genuinely think they share a bed together like Morecambe and Wise.
We've been known to.
Bert and Ernie.
So yeah, technically we're all up for an award tonight. So because Station of the Year, and we're all part of it.
Station of the Year award, and I think if we win it, it's only right that Larry and Paul go up to accept the award on behalf of sort of the lesser weekday presenters.
Absolutely.
Is that what you were saying this
Absolutely.
Week?
Absolutely. Well, you indeed run the station during the week, don't you?
We do, yes. Some of us, I believe in Radio Leeds more equal than others, and that's certainly the case in ours, Larry and Paul's. Steph, not so much.
And Paul's going to be DJing at the after party as well. along with Radio Sheffield Steve White.
Yeah, well, it's the only way we could get in.
And the good thing is, it's in your backyard, so you can all go home to your own beds tonight.
Yeah. Saying that, I'm staying in a hotel.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully not.
Yeah. And hopefully I'll stay in someone else's bed.
Have a great night, guys.
Thank you.
Five Lives' Tony Livesey is nominated for an award tonight.
I am. Best dressed.
And best haircut, I heard Sarah saying yesterday. Yeah, best
haircut. Well, Stuart, you know, I don't want to bring this up in front of you, but of course, for you, it's like looking in a hall of mirrors looking at me, isn't it?
Just strange things. So, yeah, you're nominated not only against some great talk radio presenters, but your former colleague Anna on Drive, yes. Who is great as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be very awkward, isn't it, at work tomorrow? But, you know, it's all fine. I was very happy to be nominated, Stuart. I'm not bothered if I don't win. But if I don't win, I'll be crying in a corner somewhere by midnight.
And you wangled the day off today. Do you get the day off tomorrow
I got a free day off, which is unbelievable. But no, tomorrow I've got to go in and present. Win or lose, I'm in tomorrow.
You're going to sober it up by 4.
I'll be 4 a.m. or 4 p.m. I don't know which you mean. I'm on a bus, so I'm all right. So I don't have to worry about driving tomorrow. But I've never presented Drive drunk. So, and I'm a man of first, so who knows? It may have sounded like it.
And have you ever won an award before?
No, nothing.
No?
I once got nominated.
Not even for your Radio Lancashire Breakfast show?
I once got nominated for the very last year I was on Radio Lancashire Breakfast. I got nominated for a Gillard, came 3rd out of 3. So.
Well, good luck for tonight.
I've even lost the badges I used to have on my trunks as a kid for diving. So I've nothing, Stuart. What are you going to. Have you got anything? Can you throw me anything?
No. I've got one of these green wristbands.
That'll do.
Just means my bag's been checked.
I'll take anything. My dignity. By the end of the night, I'll just take anything.
Steve Parkinson's here from Bauer, nominated for quite a lot tonight, Bauer.
Yes, quite a lot. I'm sort of here to support everybody. It's fantastic for Absolute, who, Paul Sylvester writes a great entry, but actually you look at all of them and you think, actually, to be fair, the judges are firm but fair, and Absolute Radio is rightly up there with all of the nominations that they're there.
And a great time to be in the radio industry at the moment. There seems to be a lot going on.
There's a story every day, it feels like. It's it's very exciting. There's an even bigger buzz here tonight. You don't know who's going to win, but also there are new people coming in, new people swapping from the BBC to commercial and every way round. So it's a great time to be in radio.
And all the BBC people are here, so you can have a quiet word if you're talent scouting,
I'm
I guess.
Off to have a quiet word, yeah.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
Harriet Scott's here on the purple carpet in Leeds from Magic Breakfast with Ronan Keating.
Hello, hello.
Excited to be in Leeds for the Arias?
I love being here. I have not been to the Arias before, so this is very exciting.
It's quite different to the Sonys.
Well, it is, but actually also I went to university at Hull University and I did student radio at Hull University, so I feel slightly that I'm back on my home turf here.
And you're here to cheer Ronan on tonight.
Oh, 100% Ronan's got to win. I'm so proud of him.
And are you teaching him things still every
God.
Day?
Yeah, obviously. Well, yeah. I mean, clearly he wouldn't be here without me. Ronan doesn't need much help. In a way, Ronan teaches me things, and I mean this in a good way. We can all be perhaps tight radio presenters, but what he does is helps bring out the warmth and I mean, it's an overused word these days, but the authenticity. And he shakes me out of my professionalism, and I love him for that.
Because people like Ronan, I'm not saying Ronan in particular, get criticism from radio people to say, these celebs coming in here doing a show. But we need those people, don't we, in radio?
I think...
Nothing against radio people, but...
Listen, exactly. There's two things that I would always support. Homegrown radio talent, people who've been up through student radio like what I did and all that. But also, the fact that radio attracts big stars like Ronan, like the other people nominated in his category, like Molly King from The Saturdays, like James Bay, people want to do radio. And if big stars want to do radio, surely that's great for the industry.
Hits Radio UK's Gemma Atkinson is here in Leeds. Come
yes,
on, Leeds.
I know.
And it's your first year at the Radio Awards as a breakfast presenter.
Yes.
Exciting night.
First year ever. I didn't come last year. It's really exciting. Yeah, I'm riding solo tonight. Gethin and Dave couldn't make it. So I do feel a bit kind of out of place. But I'm really looking forward to it and seeing what talent there is in radio.
And you've been doing the show 6 months now, is it?
Yeah, I've been doing Hits 6 months. I've done the radio for about 2 years with Key, but Hits 6 months, and it's going really, really well. We've all gelled great, and we've had some amazing guests. We've got loads of fun stuff coming up. We've got Hits Live in November coming up. kind of doesn't feel like work. It kind of feels like I go in, have a natter with my mates for 4 hours, have some coffee and go home.
I spoke to Gethin a few weeks ago at a radio event, and he says you're learning Spanish together at the moment.
Yes, I wanted that's to learn Spanish, obviously my fella's Spanish, so that's why I was learning. And Gethin just gatecrashed. He was like, well, if you're doing it, I want to do it. So I was like, okay, fine. But it's actually worked in my favour because it's made me feel a lot more confident because I'm better than him. So, yeah, and he's missed two lessons because he was ill, bless him. So I've got 2 hours on him in the Spanish States.
And you've got a busy few months. Strictly's still going on, and you're involved with that on the periphery. And you've got Hits Radio Live coming up, which
is exciting. Hits Radio Live, yeah. We announce our guests tomorrow. The lineup's fab, really, really fab, and we're going to announce them on the show tomorrow. 25th of November, it's in Manchester. And we've got them all over. We've got one in Birmingham and one in Liverpool. But obviously, I'll be at the Manchester one, and I cannot wait.
And quite a lot of Bauer nominations tonight, so you're going to be cheering loud from the crowd.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to be cheering everyone. Apparently, I'm sat near the front. I'm near the bar as well. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But yeah, I'll be cheering for Team Bauer, definitely.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Look who it is on the red carpet at the Arias. It's only Charlie Sloth.
Oh, gosh.
Nominated for your rap show on One Extra tonight. Confident about winning that?
I mean, you know, I've not given it much thought in terms of, you know, how well we're going to do tonight. The fact that I'm here is huge. You know, like, for years and years and years, probably 10 years to be fair, it feels like rap, urban music in general has been overlooked at awards like this. And the fact that I'm here today is testament to all of the artists and, you know, the scene in general that I support.
And a big announcement from you a few weeks back. Have you thought of any more people to add to that list of names? It went on for about 10 minutes, didn't it?
The people you're thanking? Do you know what? I feel like I missed quite a few out. Have you got 10 minutes spare? Because I've got a few more to add.
Well, maybe you can do the same on stage if you win tonight.
Maybe. But yeah, there's so many people that have supported me and been huge inspirations to me during my time at the BBC. And it felt like they was the core people that had really pushed me to better myself as a person and as a broadcaster. So it felt only right that, you know, when I said my goodbyes, they were a part of that.
From Radio 1 recently, as well as yourself, the Semtex, B-Traits, it's a bit of a turnover into other areas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously everyone's got their own individual reasons for what their reasoning for moving on or whatever it is, but, you know, all I can say is that I'm honoured and privileged to have spent 10 years of my life at the biggest radio station in the world and, you know, to have achieved some of the things that I have in my time during the 10 years at the BBC, I'm honoured.
I thought Beats 1 was the biggest in the world. So.
I mean, I'm not sure if Beats 1's a radio station at the moment. I mean, they do radio, but I'm not sure if it's classed as a radio station. But yeah, I mean, the stuff they do is incredible too.
Exciting. We'll look forward to hearing what's going on next. Is that going to be coming soon? Are you going to tell us soon?
No comment.
Have a great night, Charlie.
I feel like I've been arrested. The amount of no comments that are happening tonight. No
comment. Have a good night. We look forward to hearing your news when you can announce it.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
mate.
Charlie.
Thank you. Take care.
Tony Hadley is here on the red carpet, a man who's been in thousands of radio stations over the years promoting his music.
Yes. Well, you have to, don't you? Well, radio's God. You know, at the end of the day, it's the purest way of getting your music, you know, out there to people. So, you know, and I've always been a great believer. I mean, I've done lots of radio tours recently with the new album, Talking to the Moon, promoting the singles and stuff. You know, you can go and do an ISDN line, you know, sit in a studio in London and connect with loads of people around the country. But it actually, I think, is much more, not value, but it's just much nicer when you actually go and physically meet the people that play your records and support you on your tours and stuff like that. So, you know, we've got lots of local radio stations that have been helping to promote the tour, and obviously playing the new singles. So I always think it's much more interesting. And we go for nice lunches as well.
And those radio stations have probably changed since first time round in the early 80s. There weren't as many. Oh. And they're like TV studios now.
Yeah, well, everything's on TV. I keep forgetting. So sometimes I might go into a radio station looking a bit, I just crawled out of bed kind of thing. No, I'm not that bad. I'm usually quite smart, actually. But everything's on camera now. So everything you do on, and I forget even my Absolute shows. I'm like, oh, crumbs, right, you know. So you got a camera on you all the time. So it has changed. There are thousands of radio stations now. I mean, it's, you know, if you just think of Absolute, and I do Absolute 80s, then I think it's Absolute 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. You
noughties.
Know. There's the noughties, yeah. So, but it's good, you know, radio is very healthy,
I think.
And
you're performing tonight at the awards.
Yeah.
Presumably an awards ceremony where they're giving out gold awards. You're going to be playing,
well, be
you're be playing True, are you?
Awards. Yeah, I'll be doing True. Well, we're going to do a couple of new songs and then you know, a couple of the classics as well. So I got my band with. We did the Sage Gateshead last night and we did Palladium the night before that, which was amazing. That was never played the Palladium. So Yeah, here we are in Leeds. Be rocking in about 3 or 4 hours' time, I suppose.
You're loving being a presenter on Absolute 80s as well?
Yeah, I enjoy. I was just saying to the guys over there, you know, I live in the country now. It gets me into London, which I love. I'm a Londoner. And also, but the people who work for Absolute are really cool, super cool people. They're just really lovely people to work with. I don't have to push any buttons because I'm not very technical, as everyone who knows me will tell you. Even in the studio, they don't let me go anywhere near the mixing desk. So I've got great producers. I talk rubbish and it works.
The BBC Director of Radio and Music, Bob Shannon, is here ahead of the ARIAs. Lots of nominations for BBC tonight. Are you confident of bagging some awards?
Well, I hope we win some. I mean, it's a great event, isn't it? It's a really, really important event for our industry, and it feels like audio and radio are really on an upward curve at the moment. We've always been pretty great, but it feels like as a sector across the UK, the quality threshold is high. Everyone's talking about it. There's real interest in what we do. And the ARIAs have been a brilliant invention in the wake of the Sonys. Roger Cutsforth has done a fantastic job for us all. And yeah, of course, everyone wants to win. I'm not going to be coy about it. But, you know, I think the standard is very high and radio's the winner.
And it's great seeing radio on the front pages, perhaps not for you when your big talent goes, but as a, for the industry, it's people are talking about us.
Yes, I mean, it is always better to be talked about than not, isn't it? And, yeah, obviously we've had quite a few people who've moved on to Pastures New, and that's how it works, and it will always be like that. And I think, yeah, we have to see the positive, which is that radio and the world of audio are vibrant at the moment in the UK, and if we've got a vibrant sector, it's really good for audiences, and we should all take pride in it. And, you know, we win some, we lose some.
And having worked with Chris as his boss for the last few years as Radio 2 controller, you must be really pleased for him that he's going on and starting that new challenge, because it's, as he said, he's, well, pleased for him, but perhaps not pleased for your station.
Pleased might be slightly exaggerating. I totally understand what he's chosen to do. I think I understand his motivation. He's a phenomenal broadcaster. I'm very proud of everything he's done for the BBC, everything he's done for Radio 2, everything he's done for Children in Need. He's a class act. He will always be a class act. I think we've had a great innings with him, and I'm sure he'll go on to great things, as indeed will we.
And talking of going on to great things, exciting time for BBC Sounds, which obviously you're overseeing. That's all going to launch next week, I think, and it's a big change.
It's an important demonstration of, you know, the world we're in, and these audio and radio industry awards demonstrate that we're in a world where listening has probably never been more popular, and we want people to be listening to our content, and we know that we have to offer content in an on-demand environment as well as a linear environment. We need to make everything that we do brilliant and important for people, and Sounds is an incredibly important development for us. It's probably the biggest BBC launch in a couple of decades, and it's something that we want to invest in over a period of time to grow into being a very special destination for UK audiences.
Good luck for your stations tonight, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Ronan Keating is here. We've spoken to Harriet already. She's rooting for you tonight.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Harriet. I hope she does well. I hope she wins. Yeah.
But you're nominated for Best Newcomer. Yeah. Is it a while since you've been a newcomer at an awards
show? Yeah, about 25 years since I've been a newcomer at an awards show, so it's very weird. It's lovely to be here and to be, you know, representing Magic, the station, the show. Harriet and I love what we do. We have great banter. It's a great relationship. So, yeah, no, I'm very proud to be here. I didn't expect to be nominated in any shape or form, so This is very different, very strange.
And Harriet told me that you're teaching her a thing or two about radio.
Well, she's taught me everything I know about radio. I've literally been listening, you know, paying attention to her. She's a veteran. She won't like me using that word, but she's been doing it for a while. It's a very special thing, radio, you know, because you get to speak to people every morning. You get to play music and you get to influence people with the music you play. It's a very special thing, and it's a privilege. And that's what you can't take for granted. It's a privilege. to do that, to play music to people every morning, to be on radio. And it's one of the oldest mediums of entertainment, so to be part of it's a very cool thing.
And you got the band back together. You did a Radio 2 gig this year, and I think you went on the Radio 2 breakfast show. Did you get the morning off Magic to go
on
there?
I had to get the morning off Magic, but it's all right. You know, we're not in competition with Radio 2.
Really?
We love them at Radio 2. They're good friends.
How was that, performing at Hyde Park with Radio 2?
Yeah, very cool. It's nice to be back with the band. We've got the album out in November. World Tour is kicking off in January. It's a special time for us. It's our farewell album, so emotional, but very special.
And do you see yourself in radio long term?
Look, I've been in radio for 25 years. That's the way I see it. Yeah, just on the other side for a minute.
Well, good luck for tonight.
Thanks a million. Thank you. Cheers, thanks.
Radio Today, the Radio Today of tomorrow.
Very good, very good.
Here are Matt and Molly from Radio 1.
Hello.
Hello.
And Molly, fairly new to radio. Are you enjoying it?
Oh my gosh, I'm absolutely loving it. Yeah, I really am. I never thought that I would find something that I loved as much as I do singing. So I'm absolutely loving every minute.
Do you mean more than singing? You mean more than singing?
Of course, more than singing. Yeah, all down to Matt, of course.
And there's a big buzz in the radio industry at the moment. There's so many people coming into radio. It's front page news. It's a great time.
It really is a great time for radio, I think. I think there's so much sort of new talent out there and older talent.
All right. I like the chopping and changing. And I like the fact that radio is quite unpredictable. And actually that it does make headlines, like you say. I love the fact that Evans can announce that he's going and suddenly people go, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And then the fact that Zoe's been announced as the show at Radio 1. Yeah. We've obviously got a new breakfast show in Greg, who's just doing an amazing job. Grimmy's sounding amazing in the afternoons. It feels like a really exciting time to be at Radio 1. And I actually can't think of a time at Radio 1 that I've been happier, mainly because you're here. But also just like feel like their family is exactly where it should be, you know?
Yeah,
like everyone's
yeah.
just, every cog in that machine is doing well. And that's how I think of us, as cogs in a machine.
So lovely. And Molly, with the Saturdays, you've done lots of probably regional radio tours, been in hundreds of radio studios. Is it nice to just go in one and keep going in the same one?
Do you know what? It's really fun actually being on this side of the microphone because, you know, for years I was that side and I loved every minute of that. But it's so fun actually being able to like ask the questions and find out things that you want to know about other people. So yeah, I'm loving this side of it.
You've got to stop asking people why they name the band the Saturdays though, all right?
See what I'm putting up with here.
And Radio 1's got quite a few nominations, the BBC has. It's going to be an exciting night. Who are you cheering for in particular?
Well,
as well as Molly.
Well, I was going to say, I'm cheering for Ronan Keating in the best of the
He genuinely
category.
Is, yeah.
Well, famously, he says it best when he says nothing at all. So I don't know what was on the tape. Obviously, cheering Molly on.
Yeah.
Greg Athlon has been nominated. That was such a fun thing to sort of be a part of, both as a listener and to occasionally go in and get involved with.
Yeah. Radio 1's up for best station, so fingers crossed, you know, as a station.
Yeah. I'm quite interested in the imaging one. The Radio 1 Vintage is, well, Radio 1 and Radio 1 Vintage are both up for the imaging. And the radio, I love listening to the Radio 1 Vintage stuff so much, so I hope they win that. And also, Grimmy's been nominated for the breakfast show. Obviously, he's not doing breakfast anymore, but it'd be a nice sort of final hurrah for him as he moves off to drive to get that award.
Good luck, Molly, for tonight, and good luck to Radio 1. Have a great night.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Stuart.
That was Matt and Molly on the red carpet at the ARIAs. Just time for a quick word about CleanFeed. If you've not heard about it, it's great for doing OBs or doing interviews down the line. It all works in your browser and it's designed for radio and for podcasters. It's really simple to connect live audio over the web in great quality. And you can record as well. It doesn't cost you anything to get started. CleanFeed will only take you 30 seconds to sign up. And within minutes, you'll be doing your first live interview or recording. And you can find out more at CleanFeed.net. Now time to talk to some of the people holding awards.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So the first award of the night at the ARIAs 2018 is You, Me and the Big C. And we've got Lauren and Deborah, Rachel's husband Steve, and producer Mike. What would Rachel have made of tonight?
Well, she'd be looking glamorous, we know that for sure. She'd have the best dress on and the biggest smile. I think she'd be incredibly proud. This is her baby. I know, both very emotional.
We're really original, she actually. Really. She should be here, if I'm being honest. And this is an award for her, for what she wanted to do. And we will continue the conversation. And I know that Steve standing here probably couldn't be prouder of his wife right now. And all of us as a team.
And in terms of the conversation nationally, what you three girls did and are still doing has just changed everything, hasn't it? People are talking like they never talked before.
Yeah, they are. And it's about time. You know, one in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And if it's not you, someone you love. Yeah. So this is a conversation that needs to happen. We need to normalise it. And we're really proud that
really
people...
Proud.
can tune into us and actually just they feel less alone in this, and that's what we ever wanted.
I think the reason that we set this up, and Rachel founded this, was very much that we wanted people to know that we are here with you, and it's rubbish, you know, and it's not, we're not going to pretend that we're going to sugarcoat it. We're going to be really, really real about it, but actually the outpouring of love that we have from people and the response that we've had gives us more and more reason to continue to do it.
And a second award in 2 months, or in just a few weeks, Steve. Yeah. She would have been so proud.
Yeah, she really, really, really would have been. I mean, these girls picked that one up and celebrated accordingly, I think. I think they broke poor Mike here. But yeah, she'd have been super, super, super proud. It was something that, you know, she started with, you know, with ambition about changing the conversation like they have done. But, you know, she would just have been astonished with the number of people that it's touched and the number of people that it's reached. And the messages since she died have just been extraordinary, from the number of people that have listened and been affected by it and are taken inspiration by it.
And a quick word with Mike. I know I've heard you before on the podcast after Rachel died saying when you heard about this, you just wanted to be involved. And it's kind of proved to be an amazing thing, hasn't it?
It's quite it's simply been one of the best things that I've been involved in. Been lucky enough to be in a lot of great podcasts, but this one meant so much. And sitting down with Rachel in January to now, I just wish she was here. But she was amazing. She drove this through, and I'm so glad I could help her do it.
Best speech presenter at Non-Breakfast, it's Justin Dealey from Three Counties Radio and across the East. How's it feel to win that and beat some big names?
It feels fantastic. It feels absolutely brilliant. I'm just so lucky that my boss has given me the freedom to do what I've got to do. Some interviews hit me really, really hard. You know, we do some of these interviews and they stay with you for a long time. But the next minute, after a serious interview, we could have a peacock doing a Bee Gees song. I mean, you never quite know what you're going to get with the show. That's what excites me, and I think that's what excites the listeners. But yeah, to be here tonight, I thought that was enough for me. When they read out my name, I thought, am I dreaming this? Is it real? But it's unbelievable, and it puts local radio on the map as well. It's a great achievement.
And you've recently got married.
Yeah, I know.
And you had a radio in the cake. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
That's a good research. Geeky,
amazing.
It
is very geeky, but that's where we met. I mean, Marina, who's now my wife, is Colin Berry's daughter. So there was a big radio link there. And I just thought, you know what? We need a cake that's going to kind of say something about us. She's into radio. I'm into radio. I think I loved it a lot more than our guest did. But it worked.
And how did you convince your boss to let you have the stag do on the air? Because that just sounded amazing.
It was a fantastic night. She said to me, I'll do it on one agreement. That you're only allowed to have 5 people in, and those 5 people that come in need to have emails. We kind of didn't do that. We kind of said a few of you can email in, but we obviously let more in. But that's great. And I think that kind of shows what we do on the show, that the listeners, as cliche as it sounds, are a massive part of my life. When I was getting married, they wanted to be part of that. They were ringing up saying, when's the wedding going to be? And all this kind of stuff. So we thought, why don't we have a radio stag do and involve the listeners? And it's a night that none of us will forget. The listeners, when they came into the studio, they were absolutely brilliant. We're even thinking about signing one of them up to have our own show.
Well, I hope tonight's a night you can't forget as well. Congratulations, absolutely. Justin,
Thank
and have
so
a great
much.
Night.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now I'm backstage with Ronan Keating. We've just been on the red carpet with Ronan Keating, but how have you wound up backstage? You've got this award in your hand.
I'm nervous, man. My hands are shaking. I didn't expect to feel like this. I had no idea. I wasn't really thinking I was going to win. It's just mental. It's lovely. It's a privilege. It's wonderful. It's really special.
It's amazing to see you so flabbergasted. You genuinely didn't think you were
going
to win.
I didn't think I was going to win. I just came here to support Magic and, you know, being a new presenter, it was the right... It felt I should be here, and I'm honoured. And it's, you know, to be up against the people I was up against, you know, the worthy winners, all of them.
Molly from the Saturdays getting the silver behind you as well.
I know. I fair play to her. I know Molly's here and, you know, lovely of her to be here too. I didn't expect to win. I thought, oh, I saw Molly. I thought, she's definitely going to win, eh? I feel so new to this, you know. I don't feel... anyway, it's crazy.
And are you on the air tomorrow morning, or have you got the morning off?
I'm on air in the morning, yeah. We might pull a Phil and Holly in the morning and be a little bit shady.
You're doing that from Leeds?
Yeah, we're doing the show from here, of course. I won't get down tonight, no way.
Well, enjoy the celebration.
Thanks so much. Thanks
Ronan.
A million.
Well done.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, mister, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
So, we're back at the Arias. Third year running, Stephen Nolan has picked up a gold medal.
Is it the third year running?
Yeah.
Is it?
So, best speech presenter 2016. Last year, you got the coverage for the London Bridge attack. And then this year, best speech presenter at breakfast.
I was saying out there, the only problem is
because I work for two radio stations, Five Live and Radio Ulster, right? I'm really, really self-conscious about, I haven't won anything for Jono at Five Live. And then one other year it was the same. I hadn't won anything for Radio Ulster, and I was going up apologising to that controller. It was a joint one. See, that's the secret, Ross. Ross is the editor of the show. No, listen, these things don't become any less important. You know, I was saying to Ross how important these awards are, because you're fighting for them and you're fighting against some of the best broadcasters in the UK. So they mean an awful lot. And then in this category, you know,
Nikki and Rachel in second place behind.
Well, it's always good to beat Nikki, isn't it? Like, quite frankly, I would love to see Nikki's face at the moment. In fact, could you do that for me? I'll give you a lot of money to see Nikki's face.
That's right. I can imagine what it looks like.
No, we're concentrating on investigative journalism on the Nolan Show in the mix. And I was saying out there when I was collecting the award that it's so important, not just as a presenter to do it, but to have a team behind you. That's where Ross and our other team, you know, the rest of our team, Vinny and Gareth and David Thompson and Nicola and Tommy and Kathy, and we're trying not to forget about anybody.
And the otter on your lawn.
Exactly, the otter on my lawn. But you also need a boss who'll back you, because with investigative journalism comes some scary moments, and that's why this award in particular is really important to me.
But you do the lighter stuff as well, and you have a good laugh every morning.
Yeah, it's really important to do the lighter stuff, because I think if you're sharing as a presenter some, you know, a lot of your life with people, so people know that I'm getting fatter as every year goes on and I can't do anything about it. There was this big hairy thing crawling across my lawn.
It was an otter.
I thought it was a rat. I kind of...
Check out the security cam video on your Twitter, because it is hilarious.
Yeah, well, that thing has come back as well. So, look, why wouldn't you share your life with people who listen to you every day, and therefore, you know, they're keeping me in a job, so...
I'm not taking anything away from this fantastic award win, but best speech presenter at breakfast. You're on at 9 till 10.30. Do they just not get up early in Northern Ireland?
Well, it's...
Is it a breakfast show?
Yes, of course it's a breakfast show. Why, you don't have your breakfast at 9 o'clock? Come on, man. There it is. We're now officially the Breakfast Show award-winning best speech presenter at breakfast.
It's the danger your editor wants to put you on a bit earlier now, though. That's the problem if you're saying you're on an award-winning breakfast show.
Well, let's put it like this. I'll leave you with this thought. So the show starts at 9 o'clock. What time do I come in at, Ross?
Seriously?
Maybe not. Might be some technical problems if we bring the show any earlier.
Congratulations, Thanks, Stephen. Mate. Well done
Good
again.
Good to see you. Thank you very much.
Your boss has taken your award off you.
I know. Something's never changed already. Wow.
Paul Sylvester, Individual of the Year and voted for by your peers. That's something special.
Oh, I mean, I blackmailed a lot of people to be able to win this one. Look, it was wonderful to be nominated amongst some amazing people like Helen Thomas, like James O'Brien, who I know really well, Neil Sloan. Amazing people. Beyond honoured. It's a, you know, winning awards is just lovely, and you should take it as just being lovely, and that's exactly what I've done.
And your boss won this one last year. Tony Morey won it.
Yes.
So he's just handing the award over to you.
Well, that's it.
Does he hand the job over next? Is that how it works?
Well, you know, I think Tony's got his own hands full looking after Magic at the moment, so I'll take care of Absolute Radio while he does that. I think, you know, we're both cut from the same cloth. We're both radio people who love our industry, who love what we do and who love what radio can be. And I think that kind of hopefully shines through in the radio stations that we make.
And it's been a big year for Absolute, with some quite major changes to your schedule.
Yes.
And I think the industry has kind of enjoyed how you've done that transition, rather than just this person's gone, this person's here. You had a really good handover, and that continuation, certainly through your audience figures, has proved that it was a successful transition.
I think, you know, when Christian told me on July the 6th that he was going, this year hasn't turned out quite the way I expected it to when I walked in on the 1st of January. I think you have to treat the presenters, the team, the business, and the listeners with respect. And I think we ask our listeners to join us every day and join us. And if you rip people off air with no rhyme or reason and they're gone, I think that's not being respectful to anybody. We want to make Absolute, we want to make Golden Square, we want to make Bauer a brilliant place to work. And I think that shines through with the way you manage change. Change is going to happen, and there's two ways of dealing with it. One really well, one really badly, and if people think we've done it well, that's beautiful.
And I think this is probably going to be the first year of an awards ceremony in about 12 years where I've not interviewed Christian backstage with his award. So,
I mean,
everybody's a winner.
Everyone's a winner this time. God bless him.
Congratulations, Paul.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm with Pauline McAdam from Radio Merseyside and her boss, Sue Owen. Congratulations
Thank
for coverage
much.
Of an event. You wrote and produced this fantastic show that was at the St George's Hall earlier this year.
Yeah, it was a thank you. You have to give a thank you speech when you get the Freedom of the City. So we wrote a show which was called A Love Letter to Liverpool, An Accent Exceedingly Rare, which is a line of the song. And it was just a celebration of all things Scouse, really. 50 years of it, listeners, friends, colleagues, performers. A bit political now and again, but in an impartial way. Very funny, quite poignant. It's a city that does everything big. So we wanted to capture that in our script, and hopefully we did.
Yeah, and the most important people at Radio Merseyside are the hundreds of thousands of listeners, so it was to say thank you to them as well.
And 50 years on the air this year, as well
I
as
know,
the freedom.
Don't we look good on it?
This kind of caps it off, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. I think there'll be champagne and Prosecco tonight.
Kate Holland is the editor of the Griefcast podcast, second big award win of the year as well.
Yeah, I think I don't want to put words in Carrie's mouth, but I can't believe that we just picked this one up. And what a gorgeous award. I can't believe it's very heavy, but this is just amazing and so exciting to be a part of this night and just to celebrate podcasting, celebrate Griefcast and celebrate audio in the UK. What a brilliant industry, and I'm so lucky to be a part of that.
I mean, we've probably said this every year for the last 5 years, but it has been a breakthrough year for podcasts. Everybody is doing them. So how do you stand out from the crowd?
I think Griefcast does something beautiful in that it feels like a niche podcast. We're talking about death, we're talking about grief. It's more fun than that sounds, I promise. But it's also an incredibly universal theme. You know, all of us will die, and we all typically know someone who has. And to have people be so open about that and honest about that and to talk in brilliantly eloquent ways about what death and grief means to all of us, I think people just really appreciate that honesty, and that's, I think, why Griefcast works.
And your podcast, together with You, Me and the Big C, also winning here tonight, it's changing the conversation, and podcasts enable us to communicate in a way that radio never did and talk about those subjects and go into depth on them.
I think that's it. I mean, obviously with traditional radio, you hear from your audience, you're part of a conversation online especially. But with podcasting, you're really talking to the person behind the microphone. It feels so personal. And, you know, Carriad always talks about the club, being in the club. And I think with Griefcast as a whole, people are in the Griefcast club, and that's really important.
Jamie Cullum is clutching an award, Best Music Presenter Outside of Breakfast, the second Radio Academy Award you won. I think you won 4 years ago.
I did, for a different category. This is
It's about you rather than the show.
Yeah, and it means a whole lot, especially in that company as well. I'm really touched, and I can't quite believe it, actually. I'm really surprised. It was just great to be here, because it's amazing to be here, with the radio industry, because they don't always get together. And I'm very proud to be a part of the audio industry, really. It's great.
And it's, what, 8.5 years now you've been doing the show on radio too. So yeah. You're fairly well settled in and good at this kind of thing, aren't you?
I think...
Still learning?
You're always still learning. And actually, you know, every time I listen to a great presenter, I'm reminded that, you know, you've got a long way to go.
Do you feel part of the family? Obviously, you're stuck on an evening, if you like, but Radio 2 is very inclusive, and the kind of, when you do events, everybody gets involved.
Yeah, it does certainly seem that way. It does feel very inclusive. I think that's something they do very intentionally, and it does make everyone feel like part of the station. So they make a real effort for that, and I appreciate it, because it's great to walk into a room with all those presenters and feel like you're kind of developing something together.
And you've won Mobos and Jazz FM awards and all sorts of other awards, but
this is really, 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 really close to my heart, this one. I mean, look, obviously music is what I kind of started out doing and what I will continue to do forever, but I really hope this is my other forever job, undoubtedly, because it feeds into the music, and it's a gift to be able to do it. It feels like a gift every week.
I am drunk, and this is a dream.
I've just found some
Don't
of
you keep that! Don't you keep that! This is mine and Milo's moment, then.
I've just found some friends of the Radio Today programme. You know, Chris Evans hasn't been on.
No.
Grimmy hasn't been on. Dottie's not been on. So, you know, This is what happens when you come on our podcast.
Oh, Stuart, we're just over the moon, mate. We don't know what's going on right now. I never thought in my life ever, from the moment that I put that mic fader up at hospital radio, would me and my now my friend be stuck holding something which means so much in our industry for something that we mess about with.
We need to apologise officially to our parents who dropped us to our first radio gig, who took us in the middle of the night to our first radio show.
Yeah.
And we said, you can't come tonight because you'll embarrass us, and Chris Evans and Nick Grimshaw wouldn't bring their parents, so you can't come.
You can't bring yourself either, and mum and Andrea, mum and Madison for me as well. We've brought you back a new doorstop.
Yeah. You're just genuinely shocked, aren't you?
Yeah.
So tell us what it says on the award. Where's the award? Where it's gone?
Never seen one of these before.
Yeah.
Nope.
It looks so like a radio thing.
It looks fabulous. It looks like one of the. Oh, I haven't even seen that.
What does it say there?
Oh, it's engraved. It wasn't a mistake. It's us. Best music presenters at Breakfast 2018, the Pulse One Breakfast Show with Milo and Rosie.
And we need to laminate it because it's never going to happen again.
hang on. Who gets it? Which one of you gets it in the
we'll get them to make two.
Yeah, we'll get them through mate two because without her, it would be nothing.
And without him, it wouldn't be the same show. No. So that's
got
it.
Got nice right next to your Dyson hand dryer in the downstairs lab.
Absolutely.
And she's going to put hers on the fake horse's head, which is in her house.
We are the best friends that you could get, and our listeners are our family, and this is why we've got this, so thank you.
And for any programme controller that is listening to this, just do me one massive favour, right? I love you. If you've got a breakfast show and you know that deep down that they've got something to give and they will make someone laugh, just let the reins go a tiny little bit and just let them genuinely make someone laugh. And she makes me laugh every morning, and the natural laughter is always the one that wins.
Yep. And I make myself laugh every morning.
Get some more drink in you and have a great night. Well
Thank
done,
you,
guys.
Stuart. Thank you. We love radio today.
So best news coverage this year goes to the Emma Barnett Show for the real life stories. Tim Lavelle is the editor of the programme. Emma will be really pleased with this.
Well, Emma and Anna, because they basically, the two of them over the last year presented the show jointly. Why I'm really pleased about it is that for me, it was a bit of a left field entry in that best news coverage says like mainstream political news event or whatever. But actually we over the last year have really focused on the extraordinary kind of difficult, challenging things that people face in modern life, and that sense of listeners telling us what life is really like is what came through.
And Anna, in terms of you taking over on this show while Emma's been off, you get to go into a lot more depth than you did on Drive. So I guess
more than 3 minutes is what you're saying, Stuart. Yeah, no,
but
exactly.
Yeah, and that's what this award is for, those real life stories where you need to give them more than 3 minutes.
Well, that's true, and it's really nice that we can. And actually what is really special about this programme is that we really reflect what people say to us. So in fact, one of the entries here, one of the parts of the award was made up of a guy who got in touch with the programme. We were talking about sex addiction, and he sent in a text and said, I didn't have sex until I was 37. Why do you never talk about that? So you know what? We did, because that's what we do. We listen, we like to tell people stories, we like to give them the time and space to feel that it's a worthwhile experience. And just the connection, I think, Tim, isn't it? The connection is so important. It feels like radio in its purest form.
Yeah, that's right. It feels like we're trying to explain like modern Britain, but also allowing our listeners to do that for us. And that's why it's so illuminating. And then you get more listeners getting in touch, and it becomes this thing where it's like this ongoing conversation that doesn't ever really stop.
And a great night for Five Live already. You, Me and the Big C was a great winner to start the night.
Oh, so well deserved. I saw Steve, Rachel's husband, at the start of the night, and it is such a testament to what an incredible broadcaster and woman she was. And I think everybody in here was absolutely thrilled that that got the nod that it got, because we miss Rachel so much. And you know, Stuart, not to have her there in the newsroom. And I sometimes will look across at her desk and her chair and just can't believe that we're not going to see her again. And to see the work that she did with Deborah and with Lauren recognised in this way, it was really, really special.
Liam Hadley is here from Radio 1 with an award for Best Station Sound for Radio 1 Vintage. And it must have been a great fun thing putting together all those old jingles and John B. Wells. And
yeah, I mean, people always said that sitting in a dark room listening to old radio jingles will never get you anywhere. So it's actually quite nice to actually have actually achieved an aria for this. And we had a lot of fun, myself and Chris Ray, who works with me at the Pop Herb Station sound team. It was just a passion project from start to finish. And we got to listen to so many hours of radio from the last 50 years at Radio 1. And it's amazing how vast it is and how much stuff you forget. and has what made it what the station is today.
And Sam Bailey is here, who led the Radio 1 Vintage pop-up station. It's a shame it was just 3 days, really, because all that great all that great imaging, it's not going to be on again, is it?
Well, what was amazing about it was we collected so much audio from fans of Radio 1 over the years who had their reel-to-reels in their sheds, and have, these days it's all on SoundCloud and MixCloud, and if it wasn't for them, we would, there were whole eras that would just be missing. And so there's loads out there. It's not on the BBC, but there's so much out there that is shared by that community. And this award's for them as well. And any recognition for Radio 1 Vintage is for anyone that's collected Radio 1 audio over the years.
All up the geeks, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it was such a geeks project, and it was such a joy to be able to just kind of zip your anorak up and go, yeah, this is what we're doing, and everyone's going to love it.
And it showed there are a lot more of us than we imagined.
Yeah, and obviously months in the planning, and then 3 days on air, it all coming to a culmination. So to get the award from the Radio Academy is fitting, really.
Oh, I mean, it's such a pleasure. And the jingles, the station sound, were what held it all together. They're what gelled it. They resonate. They make people have such an emotional reaction because, you know, I grew up listening to Radio 1 in the 90s, so I remember all of the 90s repertoire. And there were some jingles today which just send, you know, goosebumps up my spine because they remind me of being 14, 15 and all of the emotions that come with that, whether for better or worse. And what was so lovely about Radio 1 Vintage is it's a bit like Doctor Who. Everyone has their Doctor, you know, and everyone has their era of Radio 1. Stu, what was your era of Radio 1?
90s as well, yeah.
So the jingles, they just mean something. And so for these guys to pull together all that amazing stuff from the archive and freshen it up and give it a new spin, working with the guys from Jam in Dallas, it sounded so incredible. And it could have sounded really disparate, all these things from across 50 different years. And these guys made it all gel and sound amazing.
Liam, Sam, congratulations.
Thanks too much. Thanks, you.
Katrina Bunker is the managing editor at BBC Sheffield, 50 years old this year, and an aria to celebrate.
Wow. Amazing. Just can't believe it. Honestly, when they got to reading out the gold, I thought, oh, that's fine. It was nice to get a nomination. And then they said our name, and it was like, wow. And you know, marketing isn't really something that BBC local radio is famous for. We don't have huge marketing budgets. We're not about advertising. We have to be quite clever about the way that we do our marketing. And we saw our 50th birthday really as an opportunity not to be so cynical as to do something like marketing, but just to celebrate everything that we're about and our kind of history and connection with our local audience. And that's what the Common People Project was all about, really, a chance to celebrate with all our listeners.
So you got a community choir and some of your presenters and a fantastic video in the end.
Yeah, we're really, really proud of it. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was hard work and a lot of effort went into making a music video, because, again, not something that a local radio station really has the skills to do. We didn't have a huge budget. We had to draft in some really good help in terms of people who know what they're doing with filming. But we knew the people, and luckily we've got a good enough connection with our audience for hundreds of people to rally round to help us make it. And in the end, I think what you see is something that's just got great community spirit and is all about having fun and being together and bringing people together, and that's what we wanted, and we're so proud of it.
Helen and Lindsay are here from BBC Radio Humberside. Burnsy's won the best local radio show, and he's not here.
He's by the pool. Typical. The current Mrs. Burns, as he calls her, would have made his life not worth living if he'd come. But as soon as we stop speaking to you, we're going to go and tell him that he's won.
And do you think he's going to be excited?
Yeah, very excited. He'll be getting the jingles prepared as we speak. You know, Sony, winner. Yeah, he'll love it. It's a real honour to win this sort of award.
And what do you think it is about the show that makes it stand out as award winning?
It's really about the audience. So the audience provide us with a lot of the material that we use. So they know that he's the go-to person. If they want something doing locally, if they want something changing locally, we run big campaigns, we run small campaigns. You know, if somebody's got a problem with the council, we'll champion their cause. And I think that's why, because it's about the people in Hull and Grimsby and Cleethorpes and all around our region, really.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm with Sanjeev Butu, the manager at BBC Radio Leeds. Local station of the year this year. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
What do you think sets your station apart from the others to win tonight?
Without being big-headed, we do a lot of different things. We try and look after our underserved audiences. We're very diverse. We commission dramas. We work in communities. We make radio programmes. We're busy changing what we do. We're looking at music. We're always trying to evolve. So we don't sit still. And I've got a great team who really, really do work hard and bring in the ideas and just make that difference.
And you've made some big changes to your schedule in the last 6 months or so as well. So a time of change.
You've noticed, yes. Yeah, we've changed daytimes a little. Our evening shows have just all launched now, so they're a little bit different than you would normally expect from a local radio station. And we've done a few different things at the weekends as well. And we'll keep on doing that if we think we need to. But for now, we're doing quite well. We're going to sit back and watch the station grow again. Some of it might have been a shock to traditional local radio listeners, but we're trying to look after everybody, not just a one demographic.
You've got a couple of comedians here trying to get in on the action. This is Larry and Paul.
The chaps,
apparently
yes.
The radio industry's heard of these two.
Yeah, Sanjeev in the Crown, I think.
How important would you say we are, Sanjeev, to the success of BBC Radio Leeds tonight?
Oh, absolutely invaluable, guys, invaluable.
Yeah, yeah, invaluable.
Particularly on a Saturday afternoon.
They have absolutely no value. That's what he's saying, they are
worthless.
Invaluable.
Worthless.
are these guys going to get a promotion one day?
They've just got one.
Have we? Yeah!
They're staying on air.
So Ben Cooper is here at the Arias, a second year running. He's won Station of the Year, one extra last year. This year, Radio 1. Congratulations, Ben.
Oh, thank you so much. I don't think I can actually put into words what it means. And I think it is so important that the Arias are able to celebrate our industry. And to win Station of the Year means so much. So thank you very much indeed to the Radio Academy. It's brilliant. And it's beautiful, isn't it? I love that. Radio 1, I hope, is reinventing radio for the next generation. And, you know, that is really important for us, not only for our own survival, but hopefully what we learn and what we experience we'll share with the rest of the industry, because hopefully all boats rise. And I think it's not just about, you know, making sure Radio 1's around for another 50 years. It's about making sure the whole industry is around for another 50 years. So, yeah, long live radio.
And part of the big change was this man, Greg James.
We were all working towards this sort of thing, of making sure that Radio 1 was important and making sure that people came to it for not only new music, but also to feel part of pop culture and for fun stuff, and also to feel connected to the world. But also, the really exciting thing about Radio 1 this year, for me personally, but also for the whole station, was that it kind of changed my life in a weird way, in that we started talking about things that I never, ever thought I would talk about in private life, let alone on the radio, which was mental health and the Sport Relief Challenge and the Greg Athlon and stuff, is that we managed to get our listeners to tell us their secrets and confide in us and see us as a mate, and that is what radio does best. It uses its listeners as friends. And that is what I've loved as a listener since I was, I don't know, 11, listening to it going, well, that person feels like my friend, and that's wonderful. And then we managed to do this whole campaign around mental health awareness, and we started that challenge, and it was sort of it was supposed to be a wacky sort of, oh my God, you're climbing some mountains, whatever. But it turned out to be a huge conversation with our listeners about their lives, and it changed, and all the DJs came out of their shells and went, oh my God, right, well, my mates had this, or I feel this, or my mum suffered with this. And that's quite extraordinary, because if the listeners to the radio station hear their favourite presenters going, here's how I feel, then they're encouraged to say how they feel. And radio is very, very powerful, and it's supposed to be very, very fun and exciting, and I feel like we have managed to break through a barrier a little bit, and we're having a really nice time doing it. And everyone really likes each other, which is quite extraordinary. When I joined Radio 1, there were DJs that hated each other. And, you know, me and Grimmy genuinely like each other very, very much. And that's quite rare. So we have made the most of that. And we've taken it and run with it. And it's really nice to get a little award like this. So we're pleased.
Things like Pass the Pasty, things like the Hide and Seek, that sets you apart from Spotify. It's what radio is important for.
I hope this doesn't sound too pompous, but there's a Charles Darwin quote which says, it's not the strongest species that survive, nor the most intelligent. It's the ones that can react to change. And that's what we've been doing for the last 7 years, is reacting to our audience and listening to what they like to listen to musically, listen to them about what issues they care about. And that way we can also listen to what makes them laugh. So whether that be hide and seek or pass the pasty, or whether it be, you know, just any of the features that we come up with, you know, streaming services can't do that. They can't have that zeitgeist, that connection with its audience. So
this guy on your breakfast show is turning into kind of the nicest guy in radio, really, isn't he?
Greg is doing a fantastic job on breakfast, and I've got the most amazing lineup of DJs at the moment. It's fantastic.
It's nice to be nice. Doesn't mean you can't be fun and be nice. I think we're having a really fun time. I think that's the really, really exciting thing about the whole thing, is that we are including the listeners in the whole thing. And when you make the listeners the star of the show, they really thrive. The pass the pasty, or as Ben said, pass the pasty. It was a completely listener-led OB, which is mad. You would never let a listener lead an OB, but it was great because you give them if they get with the spirit of the show and they love it and they think, I'm going to go on this ferry now with a pasty because I'm going to take it to, you know, Aberdeenshire or whatever. If you invite everyone into the show and you let everyone be the star of the show, then it sort of works, and we're having a lovely time.
Radio 1's Greg James there, and you can see the full list of winners, of course, at radiotoday.co.uk. Davey Lloyd's Radio Moments are coming up after this jam.
At james.crid.land, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, podcast measurement. More standardised than you'd think it is. It was interesting seeing one of the pieces of news coming out of Radio Alive, the radio conference in Australia recently. The Australian radio industry are putting together a podcast working group to, quote, spearhead the development of the growing podcast industry in Australia. Their press release says, quote, broadcast radio is highly regulated and audience measurement is tracked through the independently audited GfK Australian radio surveys. In contrast, the podcast industry is currently fractured with no standard measurement system in place. Well, that's not entirely true. I write a daily newsletter for the podcast industry, podnews.net, so perhaps I can help demystify things a little in terms of podcast measurement. Podcasting does have a standard measurement system in place. It rejoices in the name IAB Podcast Measurement Technical Guidelines version 2.0, which is normally shortened to IAB version 2, and it essentially monitors downloads of podcasts in a standard way. It's been broadly agreed by podcast hosts and advertisers alike, and both major Australian podcast hosts, Wooshka and Omni Studio, use IAB version 2 metrics to report to clients. IAB Australia's Audio Council, of which Commercial Radio Australia are a part, have also recommended that IAB version 2 be used in the Australian market as well, and they've released some guidelines reinforcing some of the work. The idea is that all podcast hosts should be measuring using IAB version 2 and should theoretically return the same numbers. To be fair, downloads are limited in usefulness. Some podcasts are downloaded but never listened to. Raw download numbers don't give demographic information either. But there is a global standard, and it's not fractured. So it's worthwhile comparing podcast measurement with broadcast radio's research. In Australia, there are three sets of broadcast radio research, not just one. Commercial Radio Australia mentions GfK, who are used for the metro areas, but they also produce other sets of research using Extra Insights. Community radio, well, they're not in either of these, so they have to commission additional work using McNair Ingenuity Research. And all three sets of Australian broadcast radio research return different numbers, and they're compiled using different methods. And they're not compatible either with radio research conducted in other countries. Indeed, there's no global standard for measurement of radio listening. A listener is one that listens for 5 minutes in some countries, 15 in another, listened yesterday in a third. Germany has no weekly figures at all. Ireland averages over the past 12 months. The UK averages over the last quarter, 6 month or 12 month period. Canada and the US have two systems. Many markets aren't even measured at all. The global radio industry is fractured, disastrously so, when you consider that Apple Beats One or Spotify have one global measurement standard to sell against them. The lack of standards means that it's really hard to compare radio in different countries. Take it from this global radio futurologist. So while podcasting has an agreed global standard, broadcast radio's research is fractured and there is no standard measurement system in place. So perhaps we should try and establish an international radio working group to see if we can fix this and spearhead radio's development. And perhaps we can include all radio in this, including community radio as well. I've written a full article on how podcast measurement works. You'll find it at podnews.net/articles, and it includes a comparison of radio and podcasting research. Nobody really comes out of that very well. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now here's somebody who's top of the figures all the time on the Radio Today programme, the excellent David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. Years ago, when you left a station, that was it. You couldn't carry on the conversation with your listeners on social media. So imagine how Simon Bates felt 25 years ago this week, as he walked out of Radio 1 for the very last time.
As far as we're concerned, from New York, that does wrap it up. We've got one song to play. There's no particular significance other than maybe the words fit to the mood of the day. Don't forget, on Monday, Simon Mayo is here for 3.5 hours. I had a fax from someone said, what are we going to do without the Golden Hour? The Golden Hour will be here. What are we going to do without our tune? Well, there's the replacement for our tune, which is True Confessions. What are we going to do without the video reviews? The video reviews will be there. Nothing much changes, as I said yesterday, except for the broadcaster who passed. Perhaps will be an improvement on Monday. Thanks for the last 16 years. We'll go out to New York with this.
Simon Bates leaving Radio 1 this week in 93, and all those faxes of sympathy the troubled listeners had to go to say their farewells. And that same week, lingering in that same farewell doorway, was Fluff Freeman.
And our thanks to the wondrous Johnny Walker in Gifts, guitarist John Hammond, John Hyatt, me and more. Don't forget, it's In Concert, introduced by Bob Harris at 7.30. Andy Kershaw follows at 9 o'clock. And along comes the indomitable John Peel at 11. And at the Saturday Rock Show, the archives will yield one of its greatest treasures from all of 22 years ago in just one album request tonight. And that comes from Focus, right? Actually, the archives will produce the quite mighty Led Zeppelin in concert at the BBC Paris studios in April 1971. The concert that almost didn't happen, and we'll encounter conception.
Alan Freeman on his last Radio 1 rock show this week in 1993, all part of the Matthew Bannister famous refocusing of the network. As we mull over Global's foray into outdoor advertising recently, let's reflect that years ago, Capital was diversifying a little bit more than that into the restaurant business. But this week in 1999, it sold off the bulk of them for £11 million to concentrate on core radio interests. And they probably got out of that casual dining business not a moment too soon. Now, this week, 14 years ago, we lost a truly distinctive broadcaster. You can hear his voice after this wonderful 1971 continuity. Here we go.
A reminder now that listeners to Radio 2 on 1500 metres long wave and 202 metres medium wave in parts of Scotland will be able to hear, as usual, Late Night Extra. This programme will also be taken on VHF by a number of BBC local radio stations. Radio 1 listeners will now be able to hear the sounds of the 70s by tuning either to 247 metres as usual or the Radio 2 VHF band. But first and foremost on both networks, the Greenwich Time Signal.
Well, I don't know what's happened there. We're supposed to have a little jingle, you see, that comes charging in and says, it's Wednesday and it's Sounds of the 70s, and tonight it's Dancing Jack Peel. It's what it's supposed to say, but I'll tell you what, we'll do it now.
The irreplaceable John Peel. And here he is on a BBC Careers disc.
So, you want to get into radio? Well, you've managed to get this CD to play. That's one skill mastered already. Hopefully, by the time you get to the end of it, you'll have picked up enough advice to make the prospect of getting into radio considerably less daunting. Now, we're not saying that simply listening to this CD will guarantee you a job in radio, but we're pretty certain that you won't find a better source of advice. During the course of nearly 18 months, we've talked to hundreds of people who've made successful careers for themselves in radio and asked them how they got started. Some of the voices you'll recognise, some you won't. But whether they work behind the microphone or behind the scenes, they've got one thing in common. They were once all in the same position as you, banging on the door to be let in.
John Peel. Oak Ridge Radio applied for a radio licence for Reigate and Crawley some years ago. When it went on air this week in 1984, though, it had a different name.
It's 8 o'clock on Saturday, the 20th of October, 1984. This, for the very first time, is Radio Mercury. Good morning, and I'm Ed Stewart, welcoming you to the very first transmission of the 48th station in the independent local radio network, Radio Mercury. Well, we're broadcasting on 103.6 FM stereo and 197 metres medium.
Well, we've gone overboard here to produce what we feel is going to be one of the most outstanding stations on the independent local radio network. We've spent many years planning it, I might add, and so I'm very confident, we're very bullish about it as a company, that we will stick very closely to our original financial projections and the company will be a rip-roaring success.
The launch of Radio Mercury this week, 34 years ago. It became Heart 26 years later. BBC Radio in London has adopted many guises in its time. 30 years ago this week, it had a new name and style as GLR.
I think the first person we hired was Emma Freud, who came in to do the mid-morning show.
It's going to be quite a shocking programme, I think, which for 10 a.m. to 12 a.m. in the morning would be quite novel. I mean, you don't normally get quite radical interviews then, and I think a lot of the time people were getting on will be really quite extraordinary.
We hired Johnny Walker, who was then languishing somewhere on a commercial radio station in the southwest.
Matthew Bannister.
To me, he was absolutely one of the great radio presenters, and one of the presenters who resonated with our target audience of 25 to 45-year-olds. Somebody who had a passion for music, a love for music, and also a kind of sense of mischief.
GLR, I think, is the ideal combination of somebody who wants some interesting feature interview speech material and a whole, you know, big broad range of music.
BBC Local Radio being reinvented in London by GLR this week, 30 years ago. And now in 2018, BBC Local Radio preparing to reinvent itself yet again. So, with the death of Frank Gillard, war correspondent, godfather of BBC Local Radio, creator of Any Questions, 20 years ago.
Do people want local broadcasting? Can local stations be an amenity that is welcome in a community?
The birth of Radio City in Liverpool 44 years ago. The Today programme on Radio 4 going online 18 years ago.
Good morning, this is Today.
And the commercial radio chart show splitting by format 12 years ago with the creation of the Dance and Urban Fresh 40. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Nice to catch up with you in Leeds this week. And to James Cridland and Roy Martin and all the guests at the Arias, recorded at the First Direct Arena, and everybody who put a load of hard work in into organising another fab event. And special thanks to Greg James, who spotted that my iPhone had crashed halfway through our recording and got his boss back to do the whole interview again. I tell you, he's turning out to really be one of the nicest folk in radio. That's it for this week. Join us for more industry chat next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.